Our final guest today takes us on a journey that began 125 million years ago when a wasp first dared to feed pollen to its young. To tell us about Buzz, the nature and necessity of bees, welcome to the show, Thor Hansen. Hi, Thor.
Good morning, or I guess it's afternoon where you are.
It really is afternoon, yes. So is this where bees came from then? Is that the story?
Sure. So this book is about the origin of bees, how they evolved and how they have become so essential in nature and how we've become so dependent upon them. And it did begin quite a long time ago when the dinosaurs still roamed the earth and the bees evolved from the wasps.
Okay. And the main type of bees we hear about are honeybees and bumblebees, but you say there are others.
That's right. So one of the things we overlook when we think about bees is their diversity. We tend to think, as you pointed out, of these few bees that we're familiar with. But in fact, there are more bees, more different kinds of bees in the world than all the mammals and birds put together. And then some. There are an estimated 20,000 different kinds of bees in the world, from the typical honeybee to things like leafcutter bees and mason bees and digger bees and orchid bees and a whole variety in our landscapes that deserve our attention just as much as our more familiar pollinators.
And why were they? Why are they here? Why do we have them? Is it for honey, or do they have other reasons to be on the earth as well?
Well, to answer that question, it helps to go back and look at that origin story of bees, and that when they evolved from the wasps, they did so by making a change in diet. The wasps are essentially and inherently hunters. They are hunters and scavengers, always searching the landscape for other insects to attack or for spiders or for other bits of fleshy protein that they can take back to the nest to feed to their babies. So if you're ever being harassed at a picnic and they're attacking the fried chicken or stealing bologna from your sandwiches, you know that your attackers are wasps. Bees changed in habit and became vegetarians, and they did so at the very moment in evolutionary history when flowering plants were beginning to diversify in the landscape. So there's been this long co-evolutionary dance between the bees and the flowering plants that has led to incredible diversity on both sides, you know, this wonderful diversity of bees, but also helped flowering plants diversify and become the dominant part of our flora on the planet, including so many of the plants that we depend upon for food.
Because I believe the plants, attract bees by their color. Is that correct?
A whole combination of things. When we look at a flower, really what it boils down to in appearance, in shape, in smell, all of these things are, in many cases, have evolved to attract bees. So you see flowers, many of which are yellow or blue. These are colors that fall right in the middle of the bees' visual spectrum. That's what they see. And there are also patterns and colors on flowers that we don't see because bee vision dips into the ultraviolet range that we can't perceive. So there are all of these bee guides and patterns and colors that flowers have that we don't even see. And in addition to that, all the marvelous scents and fragrances of flowers, many of which have evolved to lure bees from long distances. The antennae of bees have at least 7 different sensory organs, including a very acute sense of smell and sense ability to sense chemicals, so that small amounts of fragrance drifting on the air can attract bees for not just 100 feet, but for in some cases as much as half a mile.
Yeah, and you mentioned earlier that the bees dancing around the flowers, we've all seen that. Is it true that the honeybee has its own dance, a waggle dance?
Yeah, the honeybees are marvelous. They're the bees we know best, and they have this incredible social behavior living in these hives of thousands of individuals, you know, surrounding a single queen. And if you're going to support that number of animals, it really helps to have an efficient foraging strategy. And one of the ways honeybees do it is by this waggle dance, wherein worker bees that are scouting for good sources, pollen and nectar, the foodstuffs of bees, patches of flowers, come back to the hive and perform what is called a waggle dance, which is sort of a ritualized series of motions that inform other bees of two essential things, the distance to this source of food and the direction, and also impart a sense of the quality of that food source, so that the other bees watching this and interpreting it and communicating amongst themselves then can launch their next foraging flight in the right direction, traveling the right amount of distance. And scientists know this because they've learned to interpret those waggle dances, and by watching the dances of foragers can go out into the landscape and find the same flower patches that the bees are heading for.
Yeah. I mean, nobody wants to get stung by one, but they are quite beautiful, aren't they, when you watch them?
They're lovely, lovely creatures in many ways, and most bees really don't sting in the same way that that we think of honeybees stinging. Some of the more social bees, like honeybees and bumblebees, have quite a lot to defend because they have these larger social colonies. But the vast majority of bees are solitary creatures. A single female provisioning her own tiny nest somewhere in a hole in the ground or a piece of wood or something, and her strategy with just a small nest to defend, it's much easier to simply flee rather than to try to defend it. And so most bees, the vast majority, are very reluctant to sting, and some indeed have lost the ability altogether.
And why do they die, Thor, once they've stung?
Oh, well, that's a characteristic that is exclusive to the honeybee.
Okay.
Other bees and wasps can sting repeatedly, but the honeybee has developed this really diabolical stinger in that it is barbed at the tip and works its way even deeper into the wound and tears free from the body, not only just the stinger, but also a venom sac that continues to pump the full load of poison into that wound. And that only makes sense when you do have these massive colonies where the sacrifice of an individual really benefits the whole community overall.
Mm.
And so it wouldn't make sense if you were a solitary bee to lose your life in defense of this some tiny nest someplace.
Yeah.
But it does make, from an evolutionary standpoint, it makes sense for those honeybees. And they're the only bees that have developed that particular
yeah,
system.
Yeah, interesting. Are we at risk of losing them, Thor? Are we at risk of them disappearing?
Well, we're in the midst of overall decline in insects altogether, and bees are a part of that picture in that they are suffering from what many researchers have begun calling a multiple stress disorder. Not one single malady affecting them, but a combination of stressors from pesticides and habitat loss to pathogens and parasites and what many people call poor nutrition, which simply means a lack of flowers in many of our landscapes, not only places that are being developed, but even out in rural areas where historically we had a more diverse landscape of smaller farms with diversity of crops, and also, you know, every farmscape with its own little orchard and backyard garden and that sort of thing. We've given up that lifestyle in many places in the sake of efficiency, growing, you know, huge quantity of food, but in a much more in a fashion that is efficient, but farms from road edge to road edge without hedgerows, that is one crop on a massive scale, this sort of thing. So it might be great bee habitat while that crop is blooming, but for the rest of the year is practically a desert for bees.
Yeah.
So one of the solutions, of course, is to reverse that trend, and you do see that now happening with farmers replanting hedgerows and with many backyard gardeners and enthusiasts doing what they can, which really makes a difference in suburban landscapes and even urban areas where people are reintroducing bee habitat and seeing quite a positive response in the local bee community.
Well, the book is called Buzz, The Nature and Necessity of Bees by Thor Hansen, who we're speaking to now. I believe congratulations are in order because it's been voted BBC Radio 4 Book of the Week. So that's a bit of an accolade to have as well. And your previous book was The Triumph of Seeds, I believe.
Yes, that's right. I wrote the book about seeds and then one before that, all about the evolution and natural history of feathers.
Well, do let us know when your next book is out. And do you have a website as well, Thor?
Yes, it's thorhanson.net, thorhanson.net.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for being on the show today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye now.